Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9. As you're finding your place, would you stand to your feet in honor of the Word of God as we read the Word of God together this morning? Hebrews chapter 2 and then verse 9. But we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Now let's read together, please. But we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you so much for Jesus. Thank you for coming to earth, taking on our flesh, and living and dying then for our sins. Thank you. Thank you for this time of year that we can think and meditate and sing and just praise you through all the songs. Now, Father, I pray that as our pastor comes this morning and preaches to us, that we'd have ears that are ready to hear and hearts that are ready to obey the Word of God that he preaches to us today. Speak to us. Help us today. And Father, also, if there's someone in this room this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, has never accepted him and trusted him to forgive their sins, I pray before they leave this room they would do that today. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Unless in a few weeks, unless the Congress and the President get together, America is supposed to go off the fiscal cliff. If your cell phone goes off this morning in the service and we hear it, you're going off today. So, please turn it off or turn it to vibrate. We would appreciate that very, very much. But we see Jesus. They asked the question in the news media this week, is there an anti-Christian bias in this holiday season? I'm amazed they would even ask the question, to be honest with you. It was kind of one of those questions that's somewhat redundant. Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, this season is about Jesus' birth. Christmas. Christ sent. It's not a holiday tree, it's a Christmas tree. We know and understand, and we decry the fact that Jesus is lost in the commercialism of Christmas. When in reality, giving of gifts at Christmas time is the idea came from the wise men who brought gifts to Jesus. The Christmas tree was a symbol of the Boniface, the Christian missionary in the 8th century who went to the Germanic people. They worshipped a God whose symbol was the oak tree. And Boniface, as he won them to Christ, he was trying to explain to them the difference between the eternal God and a false God, a God that did not exist. And he pointed it out by saying, see the oak tree? In the winter, the leaves fall and the tree looks dead. But the evergreen is the symbol of the eternal God. So Christians who embraced Christ and received him began to use Christmas trees at that time to symbolize the eternal God. Lights on the tree symbolizing Jesus came to be the light of the world. All the symbolism of Christmas time is about Jesus and his birth and his coming to be with us. But we see Jesus. So the message this morning is just to remind us what we need to do at Christmas time. But we see Jesus. Our Jewish friends start their celebration of Hanukkah and from their tradition, and that's all well, fine, and good for them. Others will have their own remembrances at Christmas time. It's always interesting to me how that all these groups start to pop up with their celebration of things during the season of Christmas. Yet it's become more difficult just to put up a manger scene somewhere anymore. Now it requires legal action of some kind, and the courts have to get involved for the city of Santa Monica to do something they've been doing for years now, just a bunch of manger scenes so people could walk by and look at them. No, the atheists have to get their permit, put their stuff up, and mock the Lord Jesus Christ. And I understand in the holiday season, this time of the year, that's what it's become now, holiday season, instead of Christmas time. But we see Jesus. Schools today are not allowed to have much in their program that has anything to do with Christ, if at all. To sing Christmas songs and carols that involve or speak of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's okay to sing about Santa and the reindeer and about holiday seasons and lights and all those sorts of things. See, Pastor Johnson, they're just trying to be respectful of everybody and their beliefs and their understandings. Then why are we being disrespected? Why is it we are made to feel like second-class citizens? Why is it that America, that contrary to what the president thinks, is still a Christian nation? Why is it that we are put in second place? Why is it that we are being treated like we have to stand there and be silent about what Christmas means to us? And I say unto you this morning, but we see Jesus. Now, if the world loses all that, that's their fault. If they politicize it so they can't talk about Jesus and lift up Jesus Christ and mention Him during this season, I say unto you, we see Jesus. And I'm sorry, but I know people, they get so grouchy at season this time of year. Even God's people get acting like Scrooge. Well, I don't really care for Christmas. There's too many people in the stores, the bag, and everything else. Look at me. But we see Jesus. That's right. I can smile in Walmart at Christmas time. Now, people will either think you're drunk or on drugs, one or the other. But I do. And I tell everybody, Merry Christmas. And I know, and we always mention this, but I know people, their businesses require them to not say it back many times. Not everybody. But many times they're not allowed to say Merry Christmas back to you. I said it to someone the other day, and they said, Merry Christmas to you too. And they wanted to at least say Merry Christmas back. I said, bless your heart. I said, that's okay, I'll say it for you. Merry Christmas. We're in Chicago, and we were downtown in Chicago. The old cities like that, they do Christmas right. I mean, they've got the lights up, and it just, Michigan Avenue in downtown Chicago, they just line the streets with lights, and there's Christmas trees, not holiday trees, Christmas trees all over the place. And we were in this mall and coming down, and their Christmas music was playing, and it was some great, you know, Christmas carol like Silver Bells or something. And we were coming down the big escalator. It's a 6-story mall. You ladies would love this mall. 6 stories high, 8-story Macy's. Amen. I would rather be shot with a low caliber weapon than spend hours in a place like that. We were coming down the escalator, and it was kind of an enclosed thing, and they were playing the Silver Bells, and I just got loose on Silver Bells. Just, it was like a mighty echo chamber. And people are looking at me like, what is wrong with that guy? Silver bells, it's Christmas time in the city. Hold the applause. The truth of the matter is, I'm going to have a good time at Christmas. They're not going to take it away from me. And you know why? Because we see Jesus. That's why. I'm sorry that he's lost in some people's thinking, but he's not lost with me. So those first 4 words of Hebrews 2:9 this morning, pardon me if I lift them out of context and say, but we see Jesus. But we see Jesus. Don't get all upset because the world has Chris marked him out and put Xmas on things that they do. And I've read the stuff that said Xmas is a Greek letter for the first letter of Jesus and Christ and blah, 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 and all that stuff. No, just put his name in there and leave it alone. You want to X something out, X out, you know, Santa X. Okay, do that one. That works good for me. I still remember teaching Sunday school as a second grade boy Sunday school teacher when I first started going back to church. And when Christmas season came around, I was decided and determined I was going to get rid of Santa Claus in the mind of those second grade boys. About 10 of them in class. I don't know what the lesson was, but I was going to get Santa Claus. I was going to get him really good in that class that day. I had my lesson out. I said, today, fellas, we're going to talk about Santa Claus. And I went over the little chalkboard. I wrote Santa, S-A-N-T-A, Claus, C-A-L-U-S. I said, watch this, fellas. This is right from the Bible. And I took Santa and I turned the letters around, S-A-T-A-N, Satan. Do you see it? It's in there. It's subliminal. It's in the message. Satan, and not claws, but C-A-L-W-S. It's Satan's claws going to drag you down to hell. And I got up on the table and I had my foot in a crayon box and I was preaching away. And I had Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer's Antichrist and I was moving on that thing. This one little boy looked up at me and he goes, "Wait till I tell my mom what you just said." "Go ahead, kid. I'm preaching the Bible." Now, it's not in the Bible, in case you're looking for what chapter that's in. That's not in the Bible. The worst part was coming back to church that afternoon. This is for the evening service, and the pastor asked me to step into his office. "Brother Johnson, could I talk to you for a moment, please?" Sit me down. He goes, "What did you do in that class today? My phone's been ringing off the hook all afternoon. Your boys are home crying. Something about Satan taking them to hell from the reindeer. What was that all about?" And he said, "Brother Johnson, that wasn't even in the lesson. Where did you come up with that?" And I said, "I don't know, preacher. The Holy Ghost got all over me. I couldn't help myself." And I said, "But I got Santa what for, buddy?" He said, "Stay with the lessons. Just stay with the lessons, please." But we see Jesus. But we see Jesus in the manger. You realize what that means, ladies and gentlemen? That means that Jesus Christ, the Son of God and God the Son, humbled himself. Philippians chapter 2 says, "And took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men." And the Bible says, "And he humbled himself even unto death," even the death of the cross. When you see the manger scene and Jesus there, that little baby Jesus wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in the manger, that's a feeding trough, in a stable, here's what you now need to see. But we see Jesus who humbled himself to come to be with us, to give us what we needed, a Savior. But we see Jesus. Don't take the manger scenes away. Don't take them away. I know they're lost, and I know they got the wise men at the manger, and they weren't there. They showed up 2 years later. I know all that. I don't care. Put the wise men in the manger scene. Don't bother me at all. But do not, please, do not take away what we should be seeing. We're seeing God humbling himself and taking upon himself the form of a servant and being made in the likeness of men so he might go to the cross and pay for our sins. Now, the mangers don't save you. The baby Jesus did not save us. He came to become a man, to die on the cross. But we see Jesus who humbled himself to come to be with us. By the way, when you see Jesus like that, it reminds you how you and I need to come to be with God. Humility is the first step, you know. Humility is that great step in repentance, where we bow our proud necks and turn our religious hearts and our indifference away, and we humble ourselves enough to acknowledge that we need salvation and a Savior. That's the mockery. Listen to me. That's the mockery of religion today that teaches people that by good works or deeds, whether by their church or otherwise, they get to heaven because of that. That mocks what Jesus did when he came and became a man and walked this earth for us. That mocks the cross of Jesus Christ. That mocks everything, and it's proud and arrogant to think that by getting baptized or joining a church or living a good life, you can get yourself into heaven when it costs Jesus that much to pay for our salvation. There's some humility there. That's what it takes. You come to God, you humble yourself enough to admit, "I need a Savior, and I am willing to acknowledge Jesus Christ as my personal Savior." And accepting him for forgiveness and salvation alone, you ask him to do so. Amazingly enough, God gives you salvation. Oh, by the way, humility is a good thing to keep in mind throughout the rest of your Christian life. He humbled himself to come to us. Let's not ever leave humility out of our approach to our God. Look at me now. When you get to the place where all you have are questions and doubts about God's goodness and what he does and how he does things, you need to get back to a step of simple humility in your life. Every parent is always so pleased to see the intelligence of their children, especially when they get to that age where they're asking why about everything. Why is the sky blue? Because it's not black. Why do the birds fly? Because they can't walk, they got short legs. Why Do the fish swim because they can't breathe without water? Why? And then he started asking you all these questions, and eventually you say, look, kid, just a few years ago you were sitting in your diaper with peanut butter in it, and all of a sudden you become a rocket scientist. Why don't you give me a break? Because they get their super intelligence, but they start asking why about everything on the planet. But that's a childish thing, isn't it? And it's a good thing in a sense, but after a while, you kind of wear the parent out on the deal. I wonder in our attitude toward our God if we've not lost our humility in the sense that we just think God has to justify everything that he does to us in our lives, when the best thing to do is humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. But we see Jesus in that manger. God humbled himself to be with us. Let us not forget we should humble ourselves to be with him. But we see Jesus in the message of his birth. His name, Jesus, is not a cuss word. You don't say it like that. Oh, Jesus! That's not how you say his name. I'm always amazed they don't say, oh, Buddha. Oh, Muhammad. Huh? No, it's got to be, oh, Jesus Christ. And the way that they say it is with disrespect. And it's slang, and it's even meant to be a substitution for profanity. Wrong. That's not how you say his name. His name is Jesus. It means Savior. It means salvation. That's a very important thing to save people. Did you know that? That's a precious name. That's a wonderful name. That's a sacred name. That's a holy name. That's a godly name. That's the name God gave his son when he came to this earth. That's the name the angel told Joseph. He said his name shall be called Jesus in Matthew chapter 1. And if you got your King James Bible, look it up sometime. They always put it all in capital letters for emphasis, for title, for position, for importance, and for a proper place. His name is Jesus. Savior, salvation. The names that were given in the Old Testament. Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Amazing, isn't it? His name shall be called Wonderful. Oh, my Okie people, that my grandmother always used that expression whenever she wanted to describe something that was good. Oh, this dinner is wonderful. You cut her a little picture when I was a kid and I'd hand it to her and she'd say, oh, that's wonderful, Michael. If I ever did something that was good, and that didn't happen real often, if I ever did something that was good, she'd say, oh, that's wonderful, Michael. Because to her, that word just described something that was exceptional and beyond and above words. His name shall be called Wonderful, exceptional, above and beyond any and all and everything else. His manner of life, Counselor, one who should be giving us the advice and direction for our lives, Mighty God, Jesus Christ, God in human flesh, the Everlasting Father, the Eternal One, and the Prince of Peace. Why not the King? Because the Prince was the ruler who dealt with the people most and had his hands upon the lives of the individuals. Jesus is the one who puts his peace upon you. Yeah. But we see Jesus. Then the angel told Joseph, and his name will be called Emmanuel, God with us. You think about that, ladies and gentlemen. I know, and I'm all right with manger scenes and the baby Jesus and the swaddling clothes and all those sorts of things, but I want us also to remember that we need to see Jesus as the God-man. Both God and man, we see Jesus, but we see Jesus. Read that Matthew 1 sometime. Go home to see it today, that last part of that first chapter. When Joseph was told his name will be called Jesus, when Joseph was told his name will be Emmanuel, the Bible said after Christ's birth, the Bible said Joseph, and Joseph called his name Jesus. His earthly stepfather declared Jesus as his Savior. To our dear Catholic friends today, Mary called Jesus her Savior. You know something, dear friend? Listen to me. That name Jesus and the manner of his life was to come and to give himself for us to pay for our sins. The great hymn that Ron Hamilton wrote, oh, the place where he lay fell a shadow cold and gray of a cross that would humble a king. He came to give his life for us and to die for us We see a manger scene. We see a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. He'll not stay a baby. He'll become a little boy, and then a young man, and a teenager, and then an adult. And all ahead of him is the cross, and he's headed to that cross, knowing where he came, what he came for, and why he came. And he'll live a sinless, perfect life. No major religion of this world today can point to a sinless, perfect leader of any kind. The young man that became known as the Buddha, the enlightened one as they called him, left his wife and his children to go on a search of enlightenment. His search was selfish in its beginning and selfish in its ending. The whole concept of that religion is that you find enlightenment inside of yourself. That's where you find peace. I'm glad that Jesus was not one who forsook those of his own. He came into his own and his own received him not, but he wasn't like the Buddha. Then there's the young man Muhammad who tried to rally the Arab peoples together and all their multiple religions under a religion of one God, and did so by murder and by killing people. They go into a village and they line people up and they put a sword to their throat and say, Allah or die. And if they didn't take him, they cut their heads off. Mr. Muhammad, who married an 11-year-old girl and consummated the marriage. I think that's a child molester last time I checked it. And his 60-year-old aunt. Multiple wives. Don't put Jesus in the category with those people. Don't do that. Now, I'm sorry. See, well, Pastor, you need to respect religions. I do. I respect these religions. I respect their devotion. I respect their commitment. I respect what they believe, and I respect where they stand. But I say unto you this morning, we see Jesus, who is tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin, perfect, sinless, and pure, tempted by the devil himself, yet walked out of that temptation of Matthew chapter 4, the Son of God and God the Son, in purity and perfection. God help these people today try to make Jesus and Mary Magdalene to be husband and wife, and he had committed adultery with these women. The homosexual radical crowd today is trying to advance that Jesus and the 12 disciples were homosexuals in their actions. Blasphemy! Blasphemy! He was no more a whoremonger than he was a homosexual. But we see Jesus in the manner of his life, sinless and pure. Pastor Johnson, you got yourself worked up. No, they got me worked up. I'm tired of them desecrating the Son of God. I'm tired of them demeaning the Son of God. I'm tired of them belittling the Son of God. Like he's just some man who happened to be a leader of some followers. Jesus was God in human flesh. But we see Jesus. But we see Jesus in the matter of his return. He was a babe in a manger. And he walked the dusty roads of Palestine and came unto his own, and his own received him not. In the hour of his greatest trial and need, all had forsaken him. At the foot of the cross is his mother, his godly mother, Mary, one disciple and a handful of godly ladies, and a howling mob that spit upon him. The moment of his greatest suffering, Jesus Christ would ask for forgiveness for all those. That included you and me too, by the way. That's why there's no forgiveness outside of Jesus Christ. And he dismissed his spirit and died. He lived like no man, and he died like no man. He gave his life. They took his body down and wrapped it in 200 pounds of anointing spices and wrapped it in a cloth and laid him in a tomb and rolled a stone over that tomb. And for 3 days and three nights, the religious crowd thought they had won, and Satan and his bunch thought they had won too. But after 3 days and three nights, Jesus Christ came out of the tomb victoriously, ascended back to heaven. And ladies and gentlemen, I say unto you tonight, but we see Jesus. He's coming back, you know. Let's not leave him in a manger wrapped in baby clothes. Let's not put him on a cross and leave him there. Let's not theologically put him in a tomb and say his words rose, but his body did not. Let's understand today, we see Jesus in the manner of his return. Jesus Christ is returning one day. Without permission of mankind, without the authority of any human agency whatsoever, Jesus Christ is going to return. He's going to set his foot down on this earth and rule and reign from David's throne in Jerusalem. And we don't have to recognize the Palestinian state. It will be the state of God's people ruling from this earth. And the Bible will be the guideline that this world will be ruled by. And Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But we see Jesus. Don't take your eyes off of Him in this season. Don't do it. Don't miss who He is and why He came. Don't forget that He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But we see Jesus. Let's stand our feet, please, this morning. I'm sorry that it's lost in the commercialization of some at this season. I'm sorry that you can't even, many places today, you can't even put up a manger scene without somebody having a fit about it. I'm sorry that we get so busy in this time of year that we miss the whole point of Christmas. I'm sorry. God help this nation, America. We'll drink more booze between Thanksgiving and New Year's in that short period of time than we will the rest of the year combined. I'm sorry that America thinks they have to swill themselves silly on liquor to celebrate the birth of the perfect Son of God. That is a sorry statement. But we see Jesus. So you see, I'm not going to get all pinch-faced because they move manger scenes. I'm not going to get all upset because they don't talk about Christmas, Jesus, and say Merry Christmas. Doesn't bother me. He said, well, you just got all upset about it. Yeah, I get to vent. You don't get to. So I thought I would do that for you this morning. But we see Jesus. What do you see when you look in that manger? Son of God and Savior? Or just another baby born? Our heads bowed and our eyes closed for just a moment. May I ask you a question today? Do you know Him, Jesus, as your personal Savior today? And are you sure? Are you so certain of eternal life through Christ alone? Or is there a question in your mind about eternal life and your home in heaven? Could we do this morning then if that is you? And you're not that certain of salvation, or you know for a fact maybe you're not? Would you let us take the Bible and just go over some verses with you and make sure you've settled this thing according to Scripture? I promise you when we're done talking with you, you'll see Jesus as your Savior. Child of God, do you see Jesus this morning? You got Him clearly in your mind now? Do you see that as He humbled Himself to come to be with you, that's the step you take to come to be with Him? As His child, step of humility. Do you see Jesus as the Son of God, your Savior and your friend? Because He came to be with you. But we see Jesus. Father, bless this invitation moment this morning. Help us today, Lord. I pray if there be a child of God in this room who needs to make an important spiritual decision in their life, they would do so and yield to You. And I pray this morning if there be one here that's not saved, not settled this thing of salvation through Christ alone, that they would come and let us help them see Jesus as their Savior now. Bless this invitation moment, we ask, and we ask it in that name that is above every name, the name of Jesus.